Well, it's individual errors on the day, but there's more to it than that, of course. But that sometimes changes and swings a game. And on this occasion, you know, 2 minutes before half-time, 2 minutes after, certainly did swing a game.
You changed the system on the day. How happy were you with it, looking back with hindsight? And will you go with that again, perhaps, in the future?
Well, it's something that's there for us to debate as with the coaching staff. There were signs that it's got some promise in it, but you've got to penetrate. And we didn't do that as well as what we have to with playing two strikers, which, you know, is a strange thing nowadays, because it actually does commonsensically stand to reason. If you've got two strikers, you're probably going to have a better chance of scoring, certainly, anyway. So some goods and not so good. You know, good shape, good at keeping the ball. But when you're keeping it, you've got to keep it for a reason. And we didn't do that as well as we'd like, of course. But we want to be flexible the second time round, so to speak, as well. And, of course, because we've got different players, and we think there are players who can play in different tactical manners in order to still get the outcome we want.
So might you have other formations we might see again in the future?
I might do, but I'm not going to share them with you.
But it's good to have different strings to your bow, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we want the players to be flexible. There's a lot been made of over the years of us playing a 4-4-2, but it's never quite been just as simple as that. You know, we offer the players the chance to move from their shape, and particularly the centre-forwards working at different, sort of coming into the number 10 spot and then disappearing back into the number 9 spot, as it's called now, in the old days, centre-forward. You know, and I think there's always been a flexibility there. It's just that when you change the actual shape on paper, then people think that it's radical change. It's not always radical change. It's usually amount of yardages.
I think Watford play a slightly unusual system, aren't they? 3-5-2. What kind of challenges will that bring for you on Monday night?
Well, it's not that unusual in modern football. I mean, there's lots of teams now play with varied systems. We came across it in the Championship and in the Premier League 2 years ago. But it's not as normal as 4-3-3, particularly 4-3-3 in the Premier League. There's a lot of teams play that. You know, it's for us to decide a format that will be effective on the day.
And your home form's good. How much faith do you have in your form at Turf Moor?
Well, we just feel like everyone, you know, the home form's important, and it seems to be more important in the Premier League, I think. And, you know, with valid reason, because there's some tough places to go and get points on the road. But we want to perform home and away. Let's make that clear. But there are some tough places to go. And when you think we've had the five games we've had, if you include the last year's champions of the league, and if you include Chelsea away and you include Liverpool, who have made a fantastic start apart from our game, then, you know, three out of the five have been really tough games. So we've got a balanced view. We want to improve, we want to keep, you know, giving performances that can win games, but we've also got to have balance there and know the market we're in.
Stephen Defoe scored a fantastic goal in your last home game. Is there a slight concern that Burnley fans will heap too much expectation and expecting to do that kind of thing every week?
No, I don't think so. I think expectations everywhere now in football, whether it's Burnley fans or other fans, on individuals or the team. I think that's just part and parcel of football. And you want expectation in the sense of that usually, not always, but that usually means it's good news and they're looking for them players to deliver performances. And, you know, and I think they've enjoyed Stephen's performance, certainly the performance against Hull, which was a very strong performance with a fine goal.
And how's he finding the intensity of it? Because we know it's probably different to what he's experienced in Belgium.
Yeah, that's right. He's adapting quickly, I think. And you know, I've spoken to him. He feels he is, not just visually, statistically, but also the feel of football. And he feels that he's definitely getting to grips with the tempo and what it is to be in the Premier League.
I mean, it's intense here at Burnley in terms of the fitness, because you demand such high standards of the players. And I know some comments from Jeff Hendrick last week saying that it was a little bit of a shock to the system. Is that a common reaction when players come here?
Yeah, there is a bit of that. I mean, the Premier League's moving forward all the time. A lot's been made this year of the physical side of the game, whether it be the dietary side at Man City or the physical side with Conte at Chelsea. Klopp's been, you know, speaking about it ever since he's gone in at Liverpool about his pressing. So, I mean, it's always been there. It's just how you can work to basically put footballers in the best possible shape to deliver performances. You know, every player wants to play. You can only play 11. And it's fair to say that if you're in very good physical shape, you can apply yourself to the quality needed for longer and the focus and concentration. So there is a method to why we train so hard, but there is a balance to that as well. Now, a lot of Premier League teams now are literally in every day of the week. We like mental freshness as well, so we do stimulate the players with days off as well as hard working days.
John Flanagan has been biding his time a little bit. How close to being ready to start is he?
Yeah, he's getting closer. He's fit and well. He's part of the group. He's certainly up for selection. And it's down to me when he gets his chance.
So what do you make of Watford then? They've had a brilliant result last week against Manchester United. They seem to be in good form.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a completely different way to doing their business than most. You know, they change the manager frequently and change the squad frequently. They're bringing lots and lots of players. Some stay with the club, some disappear off to their other clubs. Completely different model, but so far it's working for them. So, you know, we've got to be mindful of the fact they still have some very good players there. But everyone in the Premier League does. It's like I was saying, it'll be a broken record this year. Everyone we play, you know, everyone will be classing the opposition as stronger than us, and everyone will be thinking they'll beat us. So, you know, there is that kind of balanced view that it's a market where simply there's no real weak teams, you know, and often it's looked upon that teams at the bottom are weaker, but that's the case. They're weaker. They're not necessarily weak. They're just weaker than the ones who are flying at the top. And it's a very demanding division, make no mistake.
Does it still have special significance for you, being a former manager and player there?
No, it never did. I've spoken whenever, you know, when I left there as a player and when I've gone back there as a coach and a manager, and then I left again. It's another game. It'll really mean it. You know, I had a fantastic time there. Worked very hard for the club. I was well respected and well received there, both as a player, as a captain, as a youth coach, a reserve coach, and a first team manager. But business has changed. They changed not just in my walk of life, in many walks of life. So I've always taken a bigger picture view of that. I had a really good time there, real good links there, but I've moved on and got on with it. And there's certainly nothing but good news from me about my time at Watford.
And is there anybody there that you remember? Is people still involved?
There's some people behind the scenes and some people in the sort of first team staff, and then people in the bigger picture staff and in the offices. And the most obvious player is Troy Deeney, who had a great season under us when I took over. And, you know, really that was the platform for him to build on. He was already putting things in under Malky, and he'd been a bit in and out, and he played wide a bit, then he played centre forward, and under us he was out and out centre forward and had a very strong season, particularly from the Christmas onwards when Marvin Sordell was sold, and he's never looked back. And, you know, great credit to him, you know, because he's done a fantastic job there.
And just finally on him, has he really kicked on? Did you see that potential when you were there?
I think his potential was always there. His belief grew with us, and it carried on to grow, and he takes great credit for that. You know, I think myself and the staff, some of the staff here that I've got who work with him, with Tony and Ian Wone, they did a lot of work with Troy, and I know he respects that. And we kind of led him to where we thought he could go, but he's grasped it and he's really run with it. And he's become a very good player. But I worked with some great players there. And, you know, one who's recently just coming out of it maybe is Lloyd Doyle, another fantastic pro and a Watford legend for the right reasons. And Eddie Mariappa and people like this, you know, really good people and really good pros. John Eustace, I could name a load of them. And, you know, they've gone on to have very good careers. Some of them just coming to the end with Eustace and people like that. But obviously Troy Deeney is still going very strong.